โอ้ยปีตาระตาระตาระเดียวแต่ละที่โอ้ no don't kill bring good result have doubt why have doubt about things that you know is inherently true then how to alleviate the doubt study dharma read the information ask your teacher investigate you don't sit there at home and pick your nose go for one dharma talk and come back and say I know things and then another doubt comes out learn investigate apply effort so doubt is like demons and currently demons do afflict us there are very powerful bomos everywhere in Southeast Asia they're very powerful people who can do magic you know they take your hair they put things inside next to your you know don't want to watch it there is magic still around I don't care what western people think that god or no god god definitely god so there are magic there are things that can harm you there are things that can disturb you there are things running around with no head trying to get youThere are people who are jealous and want to send magic. There are. And the two practices we're going to talk about will cut it off. See, as I told you before, Buddhism has nothing to send magic, but we sure can cut it off. Because Buddha doesn't believe in harming other people. So if he doesn't believe in harming people, he's not going to teach you how to do magic to get them, right? Is he? Any Buddhists or monks or nuns or people who do magic or do magic spells, run. They are not Buddhists. It's against Buddhist vows of refuge, the very step, first step of Buddhism, to do magic, to harm, is the first step. So anybody wearing yellow robes, red robes, no hair, got long hair, short hair, whatever, you know, whatever, and they tell you, I'm a Buddhist master, I'm a Rinpoche, I'm this, and they do magic, come here, give me angpa, I do this, I get you girlfriend, I get you boyfriend, I get you money, I do magic for you. You don't like them, I make sure their business go down. Anyone say thing like that to you, they say they're Buddhist,What you do is you get on the next 747 and split as fast as you can because they are not Buddhist practitioners. Buddha never taught any magic that I've seen. Buddhism does not practice magic, does not like magic, and does not do it because Buddha doesn't harm. But Buddha realizes that there are people who practice it that may harm people. So he gives you methods on how to cut it and protect yourself.So what he does is he gives you a shield, but he don't give you a knife to strike back. So they hit you with a knife, you got a shield, cannot, you sit there, pick your nose, and just, you know, nobody can get you. So, very powerful. So doubts is like demons. Demons harm you. Doubts harm you from the inside, in the inner demon. So when you practice Tara well, protects you from the eight fears. Next page.Tara's mantra meaning, alright? I won't go over that, you can read that, it's self-explanatory. You can achieve five sciences, magical powers, that's what you're interested in. Five different types of clairvoyances, and seven different types of wisdom by doing Tara's practice, or any type of deity practice. The five sciences you can master is become grammar, dialectics, medicine, arts, crafts, religious philosophy. She'll bless you to understand them well to be a benefit to others. Magical powers,which Buddhism frowns upon, flying, becoming invisible, everlasting youth, power of transmutations, all those things can be achieved as a side product, but it's not the aim of the practice. So if you're going to do Tara's practice so you can fly in the sky, it would be easier if you just pray to Tara that next life you can be a bird. Please, Tara, please may I die tomorrow and be reborn as a bird. Then you can fly all you want. I always say if I'm going to meet His Excellency, Dr. Ma here, who's a very great leader and I respect, and I'm going to meet him, and when I meet him, he says, you can tell him you can have anything you want, then I go up there. I go up there and I say, all right, I want a quarter pounder from the dumbbell. Stupid! I should say something to him like, can I have $10 million?You know, can I have a big piece of land with $10 million on it? You know, something big, rabbit. Get what you can. You don't go up to say, can I have a quarter pounder? So you don't go to Tara who can purify all your karma, who can completely free you from suffering, take you out of samsara, can hang out in the Buddha heaven and just lounge around with a beautiful body with no love handles at all, and never get old. And you can kiss Tara all day long. You can do whatever you want. You can become a fully enlightened Buddha.You can pray to Tara for all of this and achieve this. Instead of asking for Tara for this, you ask her, can I fly? I mean, how ridiculous. It's a side product that you can achieve through these meditations. It's not the goal. Five different types of clairvoyances you can achieve through stabilizing your meditation, through Tara. Divine hearing, hearing long distances, very far away. So you become like a bat, right? Number two, you know other people's thoughts. You know what they're thinking. You know what they want. You know what's the next lottery number. You know other people's thoughts. But when you gain these powers in Buddhism, the great masters actually read your thoughts, read your karma, to know what they need to help you to help you get out of suffering. They use this skill to help you. They don't use the skill to get something out of you. I have some silly, ridiculous people who tell me, I'm bored, I want to learn clairvoyance. Don't translate. Yes, that's not the reason we pray to God. It's a side product you can get. Definitely you can get clairvoyance. It's stilling of the mind. Remembering past lives. Yes, yes, in my previous life I was Egyptian Cleopatra. I've heard that 5,000 times. Every single Hollywood star, every single female Hollywood star was Cleopatra. You always read that in some trashy little Inquirer magazine, you know, Cher, I don't know, 1970, whatever, I read in National Enquirer. She was laying there on the front cover like this, you know. I was an Egyptian princess in my previous life. I was Cleopatra. That's how ridiculous, you know. How many people come up to me and they say, what was that in my previous life? You know, you were a chicken. I don't know. I know. You were a chicken and you went to the wrong place. You ended up at KFC. That's it. But through meditation, you can attain the power of knowing your previous life. Definitely you can. I don't know how that's going to help you, but anyway, that's one of the things that comes along, okay? Then, knowing that death and rebirth essentially means you gain the power to know when people will die and where they will take rebirth, or where they took rebirth before and when they died before. You gain that power. Next one is knowledge of the exhaustion of contaminations, which means you will know when people's karma end and become a Buddha. But that power only comes if you're an arhat or a Buddha. That's it. So for us right now, cannot. That one, skip it up. But I'll be happy with the other four. All right, seven wisdoms you get. Great wisdom, clean wisdom, quick wisdom, profound wisdom, wisdom of deliberation, and speech. It's not speed, it's a mistype. Speech, okay? Wisdom, deliberation, and speed. You can talk fast, huh? Fastest talker in the world. Speech, which means through this practice, you'll be able to be a very great speaker, a person whose speech will be able to convince others and benefit others, and your speech will be one that when others hear, S-P-E-E-C-H, speech. Yeah. Okay? Every little mistype is a looping going on. We're ready for the next one. Okay. Wisdom of debate. Wisdom of debate is what? You don't bring the data that whoever I argue with, I win. No. It's that if you have knowledge and you have something that can benefit others, and other people are very stubborn and difficult due to pride or anger or whatever, and you need to convince them to help them, not that you're right and not that you win, to show them a path that will benefit them, that will help them, out of compassion, to win them over, to help them, to gain the power of debate. Which means when you debate with another person, when you get into argument, there's no way that they can win over you. No way. No matter what way they go. And you can only gain this power and retain this kind of power if your motivation is strictly to benefit the other person. If your motivation is to benefit and to help the other person, to totally help them, and no other motivation, you'll gain this kind of power through Tara practice. So whatever you say, however they debate, however they argue, they cannot win over you. No win. Number seven, the wisdom competition writing. That's self-explanatory, all right? The five heinous crimes, the five worst crimes that anyone can do on this planet, in this world system, that when you die, you have 49 days maximum. Doesn't mean you stay for 49 days. It means 49 days maximum that you can wander around in between states of death and rebirth. So it doesn't mean you hang out for 49 days. It means the maximum is 49 days. Some people hang out for 1 day, some people hang out for 10 days, depending on karma, and take rebirth. All right? Me, I hung out for 48 and a half days, but never mind. I don't know how many days I'm just kidding. So, but if you commit any of these five crimes according to Buddha in our world system, the minute you die, the minute you close your eyes, the next time you open it, you end up in one of the lowest hells, the most suffering of hells. that until you finish your karma. It's very powerful. So there's no in-between states because the karma is very powerful. Killing one's mother, killing one's father, killing an arhat, causing schism within the sangha, which means within the sangha, different monks and different masters, you say one thing, this master no good, you know, he's not good, blah, 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 and the students run away. Or here they talk about, oh, this lineage no good, this dharma no good, my dharma is good, create schism, they run away. When you do that, why? You're chasing people away from enlightenment. You're chasing people away from dharma teachings. You're chasing people away from the good path. It's equivalent to sending them back to samsara. It's like someone needs penicillin, you take it away from them. So when you create schism within the sangha, when you create schism in that way, talk about teachers, talk about masters, talk about monks and whatever, and this good, no good. If you create a type of karma, you go to hell very fast. Very powerful. Drawing blood from a Tathagata. Tathagata is another word for Buddha, Sanskrit. It's not, you cannot kill a Buddha, but you can draw blood if you try to cut his body. Why? Although a Buddha is a Buddha, his body is a physical component of this world. So it has a physical composition of this world. You know, earth, air, fire, water, which is blood, the nerves, the bones. So physically you can harm a Buddha, but you can't kill. He doesn't have the karma to be killed. Harm doesn't mean you can actually harm. You can draw blood because he has blood. To do that with malintent. Right? The five Buddha families and what they represent, we'll talk about that later. And their direction and what their mudra is, and also what their particular whatever is. Okay. Let's go to the next section, page 7. So I'll explain all that. Now it becomes much easier. Much, much easier. Because those are the names. The next three practices is very easy. I just go through it like that. It'll be a breeze. Because you guys are really smart. It's a little late, never mind. Tomorrow a little bit sleepy, but tonight you get dharma. And you can sleep for the next 5 weeks until I give enough thought for 6 weeks or 7 weeks. Okay? I let you guys sleep for a few weeks and I give dharma thoughts. Tomorrow a little bit sleepy, get dharma, right? And no choice. The door is locked and this big bodyguard is blocked. The only time this guy got up and moved his seat was when the kid was leaving. So. But you see, that guy is pretty scary, huh? He looks like Mahakala. It's like Vajrapani. So anybody trying to leave this place, gotta go through this guy. So I'm staying. Look at John's being about. John's being is pretty big. Alright. Let's everybody stand up and stretch your legs and sit down immediately, please. And then we'll go to the next step. Yeah, stretch the legs, stretch it, stretch it. Actually, sit down. Everybody can have hands, so some people have a fall. Okay, white dharma practice is, you start, this practice is excellent. It's condensed, it's short, it's easy. If you want to do this, if there's three practices I'm going to give you. Two practices I'm going to give you to protect you from epidemics. Two. One is white dharma, one is black garuda. So either one you can do both or you can do either one. Now we're going to talk about dharma. White dharma is excellent for protection because she specifically is for the prolongation of life. The prolongation of life in the sense that you can practice and further your meditations. One. Two. Tara is excellent because she has the energy of swiftness and quickness in the care of a mother or a child. The minute a mother hears a child scream, she'll run there. Tara is like that. When she hears her devotees, she runs. She's like a very great grandmother. Not a grandmother, but a great grandiose mother. So, when you call upon her, she's excellent for protecting you from 8 fears. She's excellent for meditation upon attaining the 5 different types of clairvoyances. She's excellent for attaining the 7 different types of wisdoms and perfecting the 5 scientists. She can help you to collect the merits that your Dharma study becomes efficacious and quick. Reciting her mantra devotedly with faith and understanding and correct motivation devotedly, continuously. Her mantra is very, very powerful for healing one's body. for healing other people's body, for calming distractions, for controlling weather, for controlling and dispelling negative spirits. If there's negative spirits around, if you do her practice well, humbly, and you do her with full devotion by the recitation of her mantra, you will be able to control that negative spirit and even pledge them to stop harming other people. That you can achieve without her. And your worldly aims, you want to gain wealth, you want to increase wealth, you want to gain health, wisdom, she's excellent. For business, Tara is excellent. One of the best. All traditions of Buddhism, all lineages of Buddhism, Kaju, Sakya, Nyingma, Gelugpa, Northern Buddhism, Mahayana, whoever who want wealth in the divination always come out Tara. Tara is excellent. And Tara is one of the deities that's very easy to appear to you because she represents the wind element. So wind is swiftness. She's very easy to appear. There are many, many statues. Out of all the Buddha statues, there are many statues of Tara that has spoken to disciples. There are so many Buddhas and there are so many statues of them. Out of the more common statues of Buddhas that speak are Tara, Guru Rinpoche, and Tsongkhapa. Tsongkhapa statues speak to people quite often. Tara statues speak very often, and Guru Rinpoche statues. These are very, very well known. We call them Sungyorma, means statues that speak and give advice to disciples. And in India, I saw in India and Nepal, I've come across two statues that speak. They didn't speak to me, but they're known to be speaking Taras. And I made them make offerings. Very precious. So Tara is very quick for these things. In fact, if you take Tara as your main yidam, your own main tutelary practice, or add it to your practice, she's beneficial for your business. She's beneficial for increasing wisdom. She's beneficial for attaining siddhis. She's very powerful for answering your prayers, for healing, for long life, and protection of others, controlling spirits. She's excellent for healing sicknesses. And if you have someone that's ill and that's sick, or you want to protect them, she's one of the best practices. She's contained, fully contained, the beautiful, gentle, and simple Tara, who is one in nature with Kuan Yin, who has arisen from Kuan Yin's own theory. She's considered an emanation of Kuan Yin of Avalokiteshvara Chenzin. So when you pray to Tara, you're praying to Kuan Yin herself. When you're praying to Kuan Yin, you're praying to Buddha. They are emanations of Lord Buddha. Different forms, different avatars. Tara, you can never go wrong. Never. Everything is completely embodied in Tara. And in this form of white Tara, white represents pacification and peace. Everything is done peacefully and quietly and gently. It's like when you're very hot and there's a gentle breeze. White Tara's energy is like that. Very excellent practice, at this time especially. And I've compiled it here for you very short. To do the practice, we do the 6 preliminary practices. If we have time, we can set up an altar, we can make offerings. If we have time, we don't, never mind. We just go straight to the practice. Trust in Tara, trust in Buddha. Tara, Buddha Tara, and believe. I go for refuge to the gurus, or you can recite it in Sanskrit. Either way, I go for refuge to the gurus, I go for refuge to the Buddhas, I go for refuge to Dharma, I go for refuge to Sangha. Or you can recite Namo Guru Be, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sangha. And in front of you, at the height of your forehead, about one arm span away, you visualize Tara, the size of your hand. 3D, in full color, moving, very happy, very bright and luminous. Her body like a beautiful young maiden with beautiful hair, half tied up, half coming down with ornaments, smiling with 7 eyes. 3 on her face, 1 on each of her palms, and 1 on each of her legs. In the mudra of giving refuge and protection, and the other mudra for styling whatever your needs are. Sitting in a meditation posture, of a vajra posture, which means leg in meditation. White in color, gentle, holding a lotus and smiling at you. Very bright, filled with rainbows. Very bright, filled with rainbows. And she's the emanation of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Visualize that very clearly and concentrate and pray to her. Please purify my negative karma. Or if it's for that person, mine and that person's. Spirit harms and sicknesses. And as at this time, especially SARS. May those people be healed quickly. May further people not be infected. And especially if you want to think about your family members, like your mother, your father, your children, your husband, your wife, your friend, whatever. You can think of them especially at this time. Or people who are exposed to this danger all the time. You can do it yourself or for other people's sake. When, anytime, where, any place except the toilet. And how long, up to you. Then visualizing that and seeing the lights come very strongly from Tara's heart. White, blessing, powerful lights enter your body and purifies your karma immediately. Completely purifies and wipes away disease and sickness completely. And you recite her mantra. I'll get to the mantra afterwards, all right? This is the visualization. And then you visualize from Tara's heart. This is what you're doing while you're doing the mantra. Again, light stream forth from the letters at my heart. My represent Tara's heart, okay? Again, lights stream forth from Tara's heart, yellow in color. They fill my body and my friend's body. And it fills your body completely and increases your lifespan. Merits, qualities, learning, and understanding, wisdom of hearing, contemplation, and meditation. They leave my body and form a thin halo outside the one previously constructed. The white one, okay? All activities of increase are accomplished. Oh, I skipped the part, sorry. Above that it says, from Tara's heart comes white lights. Right above that it says, from Tara's heart comes white lights equal to that of 100,000 moons. The white lights come out, fill your body, and the white lights pacify illness, evil spirits, negative karma. And if you're very ill, if you're ill or you have some disease or sickness you want to cure, you focus on this white light more and you realize that it's purifying your sickness. And the negative karma, mental obscurations, and interference to life is flushed out of your body, and then the lights enter your body and then comes out of your pores and surrounds your body like a nimbus or a halo. It surrounds your body with white light, so you're inside an egg. This meditation is very important for protection. So with the deepest respect to all of you, pay attention and listen well. This meditation combined with mantra will be very powerful in protection for you and your loved ones. So at this moment, from Tara's heart comes white lights, goes into your body. You can visualize it going through the crown of your head, like pouring in. Flushing out your interferences, your karma to short life, getting diseases, illnesses. And if you're sick, visualize your sickness being pushed away. If you're sick at a particular spot in your body, visualize the white lights hitting that area and flushing that sickness out. And if you're a great practitioner, if you're a great master, at this time, you pray to Tara that your disciple's sickness, your friend's sickness, and other people's sickness come to you. And you visualize their sickness coming to you, you accept it, you get the pain, and you get Tara to purify it. But if you're not a great master, you just think about yourself at this moment. Then you purify it, and then your body, the white light that fills your body, or in, let's say we're visualizing our mother or our father, fills their body and our body completely and flushes out the sickness. And then a white light comes out through the pores of our body and surrounds us completely. Becomes like a white egg and we're sitting in the center of it. Again, from Tara comes yellow lights. The yellow lights come out and fill our body, does the same thing, except this time, increases your lifespan. Merits, qualities, learning, wisdom. And it comes out through your pores and becomes another outer covering outside of the white one. So you have a white egg, the outside is a yellow egg. Then again comes out red lights. Red light is symbolic of control, subjugation. The lights come out, flushes your body out, negativities and negative energy, and especially anger. So at this time, if you visualize the red light entering you, you visualize it entering especially your heart area, expelling your anger, expelling hatred, expelling your temper, and you become less and less and less temperamental. Expel it, and if it comes out of your pores, surrounds the yellow, and it becomes a red. Then similarly, next page, the next one will be blue. The blue will accomplish activities. Whatever activity you wish to accomplish through Tara, you'll be able to accomplish fulfillment activities. So similarly, the same procedure, outside of the red is the blue. Then the next one is greed. Attainments, destruction of jealousy and avarice. Destruction of jealousy and avarice of other people. The lights come out again of the force. Surround. The last one, which was blue. Blue. Then the last light that comes out is brown. The last light that comes out of Taras is brown, fills your body, and whatever the other lights and what they represent are there, the brown one seals it and confirms it and makes it solid. And you do this while you're reciting the mantra below. Please listen to me while I pronounce it to you, and then afterwards I would like you to follow my pronunciation. Alright? I will pronounce it to you first. The first mantra is specifically to protect yourself and to purify your karma and to heal your disease. Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Mama Ayu Huni Jana Puchim Kuru Ye Soha. Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Mama Ayu Huni Jana Puchim Kuru Ye Soha. Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Mama Ayu Huni Jana Puchim Kuru Ye Soha. You can do that around 21 times while you're visualizing those lights. The next mantra will be for the person you are meditating for. So let's say the person I'm meditating for, the name is Tenzin. So Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Tenzin Ayu Puni Jana Puchim Kuru Ye Soha. Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Mamo Tari Tenzin Ayu Puni Jana Puchim Kuru Ye Soha. So you insert the person's name. If they're very ill, you insert your name. And this is just not for SARS, this is for any disease. But at this time, special protection. Example, if our parents are very old, they cannot do this, we insert your name. We go Ung Tari, Tu Tari, Tori, maybe Ung family. Maybe Tang family. Maybe your mother, you can put if your mother's name maybe like Linda. Ung Tari, Tu Tari, Tori, Linda Ayupuni Jana Puchin Kuru Ye Soha. And you visualize the lights going to them and doing that to them. And then 21 times, that's optional. Then the mantra you actually focus on is the essence mantra, all the essence mantra of all the taras, which is Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Soha, Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Soha. So the mantra you actually focus on that is that one, and you do that one rosary or more, depending on time. Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Soha. Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Soha. And you do that visualization. You don't have to do that once. You can do the visualization again. Or you can do certain parts that you need more. If you need wisdom, you do the yellow light more. If you need protection, you can do the blue lights more. If you need to get rid of anger, you can do the red lights more. If you need to heal a disease or someone, you do white more. And you send the energy to them. That's how you do it. Contacting God. You may think, but what I'm doing is just visualization. Does it have power? It does. The visualization is like a telephone call to Tara. Tara needs a medium, needs a way or a method to send her energy through you. You're here, she's outside, you need to open the door. The meditation you do during the mantra recitation is opening the door. So when you do that visualization, Tara is doing what you're visualizing. But she doesn't do it in accordance to your visualization. She's doing it through the power of your visualization. Through that power, you unlock the door for Tara to enter your life. So it's very, very, very powerful. Very, very powerful for that. So if you have people you're very concerned about, this is it. If you have people, if you're concerned about yourself, this is it. And please do not use this practice just to protect yourself from SARS. Do it on a general level of increasing wisdom, compassion, knowledge, purifying, and healing of sicknesses. Make that one of them. Don't make it it. Be very, very powerful to do it quietly. Then if you don't have much time, you do the one rosary, Om Tari Tu Tari Tori Soha, you finish. If you have more time, you can continue. This practice is called a sadhana. A sadhana is to generate yourself as a deity. It's to contact the deity. It's like giving you a roadmap to Tara. A sadhana is a roadmap to Tara. Okay? So please repeat after me. Om Tari. Tu Tari. Mamu. Mama.
Mama.
Ayu.
Ayu.
Puni.
Puni.
Jana.
Jana.
Puchim.
Puchim.
Guru.
예,
예,
소하,
소하,
옹타리,
옹타리,
인타리,
인타리,
도리,
도리,
마마,
마마,
아유,
아유,
군이,
군이,
자나,
자나,
집,
집,
구루,
구루,
예,
소하,
옹타리,
옹타리,
인타리,
인타리,
마마,
도리,
아유,
아유,
군이,
군이,
자나,
자나,
집,
집,
구루, 예,
구루, 예,
소하,
소하.
If you pronounce that just like that, fine. If it's a little bit off, never mind. Tara is not so narrow-minded. Hey, he pronounced my mantra wrong. Eh, I'm gonna bless him. No, no, not like that. If Tara like that, you pick her up, you throw her out. Correct? So don't worry, people. You think, oh, my mantra correct or not correct. But when you do the mantra, you try to do it very quietly. If you're alone, you can recite it. When you're alone, it is said that you can recite it to the point where you can just hear yourself reciting it. When you're with other people, quietly. And you hold your mala in your left hand, on your index finger, because there's different meanings for your index, your middle finger, your ring finger, or your pinky. There's different attainments. You hold it on your index finger for achieving peace. All right, peaceful method. And you pull the mala towards you. Om dari tu dari kriso. You pull it towards you like you're pulling tara towards you. And when you go around and around, when you get to the head, right, you don't need to turn around and go the other way because you're not allowed to go up the head because it's bad karma because your grandmother told you. No, I had people tell me that. They turn it around because they're afraid. No need to. You go right over it. It's just a counter. You go right over, Om Dari Pitai Kris, you go around. So if you want to do one round, you do one round. You want to do two rounds, you do one, ten, up to you. So it's like I give you a car from New York to Los Angeles. And I give you the map. You want to drive faster, you go. You want to drive slow? Okay, one round left. So everybody in Los Angeles in the disco having a good time, you're still on the road. Om Dari Pitai Kris. Up to you. I'm already on the podium, already dancing. Okay? Any questions about that so far? Easy, isn't it? This has been highly... Tara's prayer is quite long. And Tara's prayer is quite complicated. This has been condensed by very great masters to make it short for us busy people. Okay? And I've made it even shorter for us busy people. But I've not composed any of this myself. I've compiled it from traditional sources to make it very easy for you. Alright? Then, next is making offerings. If you have time, you have an altar, you have tara in front of you, you make the 5 sensory offerings. So what you do is this, you bless the offerings. Lift up this. This one here. Yes, yes. Bring the plate. In the back. Stand up, Melvin. Never mind, sit down, Melvin. You have a plate of offerings, you can put whatever you like. All right, I happen to put... I bet not. It was very tempting, you know, Tara was telling me, eat it. Do you think I should listen to Tara, or do you think it's my mind playing tricks? Imagine this, and then, quite nice, huh? Okay, I better not look that time off. I'll do it when you guys are not looking. Okay, so you can set out beautiful offerings on a clean plate. You put whatever you want, you can put fruits, you can put raisins, you can put biscuits, you put more, you put less, up to you. But don't be a cheapskate, you know, don't put a little bit like that, no.
You don't have it.
Even a cockroach cannot fill the stomach for that. A little bit more la, you know, nice. And then you can change it every day if you like. If I eggs, clean it. You can put packaged things. After you're done, you can eat it. No problem. You know, offer cakes, you don't offer a half hour and say, okay, I'm going to eat it now. I mean, that's not really offering life. If you want to eat it, you just keep eating. Ask some people like that, you know, ask some people. Oh, I won't give you any names. But a few years ago, I had some people that I made offerings and somebody asked me, do you think they're done eating it? Anyways, when you make the offering, let it go. When you put the offering there, you bless it, and you put the 5 sensory offerings, the water for the feet, the water for the drinking, flour, incense, perfume, all that, I put there as an example. Yeah. So you bless the offering by saying, Om Ahom, 3 times. Om Ahom, Om Ahom, Om Ahom. That's it. Then you visualize from Tara's heart, lights go up and invite Tara again in front, and then the real Tara comes and dissolves into Tara in front of you again. Then you recite this very easy. Next page, page 9. This is offering food to Tara. Om Are Tare Safari Wara Idam Bhaganta Kaka Kai Kahi. When you offer Tara food, it's very powerful for collecting merits for generating wealth and business. All right, in wealth and business, money, yeah. Book. Okay, Om Are Tare Sapari Ware Ina Balanta Kaka Kai Kai. Kahi Kahi is a Sanskrit word or Indian word for eat. So it's mantra size here. Please eat Tara. Please accept my offerings. So you offer beautiful things to ask her to partake. After that, you offer her drinking water. You offer her water to wash her feet out of respect to show humility. You offer her beautiful flowers. You offer incense. You offer her light to light the way. You offer her beautiful perfumes, delicious foods. You offer her beautiful music. And that's shown here. So you offer that by reciting this. Om Are Tare Sapari Vara Argum Padiyam Pube Dube Aloke Gente Nuvente Shapta Pratita Om Soha. How simple. Then after that, you do a praise to Tara. It's like you invite someone to come over, you offer them food, and you tell them, oh, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're fabulous, now can I have a job? Something like that. Then after you say, Tara, now can I get healed? It's not like a bribery thing, but a system's like that. Then after that, you praise Tara on the bottom. How much the Arya Tara, at his lotus feet, the gods and demigods bow their crowns. Tara, mother of all the Buddhas, to she who's freed from poverty, I bow down. Okay, there you go. To the next page. This is totally optional. If you have time, you do the praise written by His Holiness, the first Dalai Lama, to White Tara. Then after that, on page 12, you have the 21 praises of Tara. If you have more time, you can recite that through once. It'll be very, very powerful for connecting Tara. If you don't have time, it's okay. Those are all optional. I just included here so you don't have to dig around looking for it. Okay? And then page 15 is the Tibetan form of the recitation of 21 Tara. You can do that or not, up to you. Then page 17, the dedication for finishing Tara's prayer. If I see signs of untimely death, let me straight away clearly see the form of Sinta Chakra and crushing the might of death, quickly become a deathless Vidya Tara. May this rare and excellent body live a century and not become a vessel for sins and misdeeds. Only be used in white good deeds, fulfilling the aims of myself and others. May all be auspicious. You make a dedication to Tara. In the verse above, it says Sinta Chakra. Sinta Chakra in Sanskrit means wheel of fulfillment or wish fulfilling wheel. Wish fulfilling wheel is a very poetic way of referring to White Tara because she fulfills all our wishes. So Sinta Chakra refers to White Tara. The might of death is Yama, or the Lord of Death. And deathless Vyadidara. Vyadidara is a Dharma holder, one who is attained, has attainments. Okay? Then the rest is completion dedication. You can do that, you don't have to do that, up to you. Extra, I just put that. Now, please go to page 21. This is very extra. Please go to page 21. The practice of the fire sword of Black Garuda. Again, this is a very, very powerful practice. These are very secret practices, and they're very refined and very powerful. This practice can be, you can read at the bottom, this practice should be done by someone who has previously received the highest yoga tantric initiation. If you do not have the highest yoga tantric initiation, if you have a lower tantric initiation, such as Great Chenasi, you can still do this practice, but do not visualize yourself as a deity. Instead, keep your ordinary form and visualize the deity outside of yourself in the space in front of you at the crown of your head. If you are doing this practice with a deity outside of yourself, you will need to modify your visualization as indicated by the instructions in the brackets. So what we do is, since most of us do not have high initiations, we do it outside of us. We don't visualize it within us. So please go to page 24. I extracted this black. This was translated by His Eminence Kyabjit Lama Sopa Rinpoche. So I extracted it from his teachings on the internet. And it says here, advice regarding this practice of Lama Sopa in short, Lama Sopa Rinpoche. This practice can be done before you get the SARS virus, as well as after you get the virus. This practice can also be done if one has cancer, leprosy, ulcers, and other epidemic diseases that are related to harmful beings. All right? AIDS is also included in this. Even if one doesn't have the actual SARS disease, you can visualize the causes to contract the disease are completely purified. Think there is not the slightest karma left in my mental continuum. So this practice is very powerful as a prevention also. So you can pick either one. Let's go back to page 22. Garuda is a mythical bird, half man, half bird. From waist up, it is a man, male, and from neck up, it's a bird. Has two horns, has flaming hair, has a crown of vajras, and has a beak with very iron meteor-like teeth, very powerful. And his two hands holds snakes. Then his bottom, from waist down, is that of a bird, and his feet are talons, stepping on a corpse, on a sun disk and locust. These birds were very powerful in protecting people from snakes and snake spirits. Very, very powerful. One of the most potent forms of magic is using snake spirits, nagas. How to say nagas in Chinese? Very powerful, protect you from that. So this practice is for that, but it has two specialities. One is protection of epidemic diseases. And if you have somehow unfortunately contracted it, to heal from it through this practice is a fierce way of healing quick. Two, this practice is excellent for protecting you from spirits, demons, black magic, and especially magic related to nagas or water spirits. So if you have fear, you're in a dirty place, you're in a very bad place, you're in a place that's infected or not clean, or you feel someone's infected you, if you do this meditation and prayer continuously, you will receive signs that you have dispelled. So other people want to in fact hurt you or harm you through magic, by the recitation of this mantra and practice, you can avert it and stop it. You don't need to pay high prices to bomos or whatever. You can simply do black garuda practice, and you will be able to stop this magic, no doubt at all. So, black garuda is not a mythical bird. Whether it exists or not, I don't know. But Buddha Shakyamuni himself took on this form of a bird and taught this tantra for you to use. So it's Buddha Shakyamuni in a fierce form, like a protector, to protect you from negativities. So if you recite this mantra continuously in places or people who try to harm you, all types of harm will be stopped. Definitely will be stopped. There is no doubt. This is a very secret practice. This is a very rare practice, and it's not easily given. It's only during very epidemic or dangerous times this practice is given. And it's a very rare practice. I received this initiation many, many years ago, and I've never heard of anyone, any monks or anyone doing this practice ever. That's how rare it is. So His Eminence was very kind to get this on the net, and luckily I received this initiation from Demology Rinpoche many years ago. And I'm able to share this with you today. So you can do either white tara or you can do black garuda, up to you. And if you're very, very hardworking, you can do both. But if you do black garuda continuously, quietly, without showing up, don't run out and say, hey, I do black garuda practice, no one can harm me. You're gonna get it. Alright, you do it quietly, you do it humbly, and you do it with a lot of humility. And you do it with full faith in Shakyamuni as Garuda. You will be protected. You can take this mantra and you can blow it on water. You can do his mantra, blow it on water, and drink it and put it on your body to heal diseases. You can take this water and you can throw it on places to consecrate dirty places or infected places. People who give you dirty objects or objects that are harmful or magic, you can do this mantra, blow on it, it will nullify it. It's very, very powerful. I am giving you the knowledge for every single one of you to become your own self-induced BOMO. Just think, when you leave today, you will all be BOMO graduates. Just think. So this is actually not a Buddhist class. This is a class of BOMOism. Don't tell. So after this, if you do this one, anybody want to harm you?
You call them BG, Black Garuda.
Just say BG, take care of them.
Right? Anyone want to throw some magic at you? BG. That's it. I'm making a joke of this, but it's that simple. That's how compassionate Buddha was. That he has all this. Anybody want to harm you? BG. Even if you're in a place you cannot get to your guru, you cannot get to something, you cannot get to someone to help you, whatever, and you recite this mantra and you blow it on a string and you wear it or you give it to people to wear, it will become a protection. But you must do it humbly and very kindly. So to even blow that mantra to give to people, if you want to do that high of a practice, you need to at least do about 100,000, at least. And then after that, you can blow and give to people. You don't do anything 21 times here, you pretend you're a people. Even me, I dare not blow the mantra on a string and give to you to bless. No way. It's very powerful. Do you want protection from black magic, epidemic diseases? This is it. You call on UBG, Black Garuda. And his practice is very, very, very simple. Very, very, very easy. I go for it. You recite here on page 22. The first line, Namo Guru Vajrapaniye. The first word on top. Namo Guru Vajrapaniye. Some of us need BG really badly. Alright. Namo Guru Vajrapaniye. Praise to Vajrapani. I go for it to the Gurus, I go for it to the Buddha, I go for it to the Dharma, I go for it to Sangha, three times. Then, after that, you say, I must achieve full enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, therefore I am going to do the practice and recitation of a black mantra of Garuda. So it's telling you why you're doing this mantra, not for small reasons, for big reasons, to protect others, to gain enlightenment, to be a benefit to others. That's why I'm going to recite it, three times. Then you recite the mantra that purifies the place, Uma Subhava. Shuddha sava dhamma subhava shuddho ham. Once. Everything is empty. Then, in front of you, you visualize like so. In the center of a very great ocean of poison. All poisons. The most disgusting and poisonous poisons. Not a little cup. A whole ocean. Is a square Mount Meru of poison. Mount Meru is the highest mountain in the world. Okay, that's Mount Kailashma. The essence of which contain the poisons of see, touch, feeling. So, not only physical poisons, your inner poisons are in this ocean. What's the inner poison? Desire, anger, hate, delusions, doubt, wrong view, greed, avarice. These are the real poisons that Black Garuda is the opponent to. So, Black Garuda is opponent to the inner and outer poisons. The inner are your defiled states of mind. Also, within this. On top of that is a lotus, a sun disk, and a spirit possession. Spirit possession means a dead corpse representing spirits, harmful spirits. On this three-piled throne, I appear. Three-piled is the sun disk, the lotus, and spirit. On this, I refers not to yourself because you don't have the initiation. On this appears Black Garuda. Then you go to the bottom. I have a sky, iron, meteorite beak with two horns. At the root of the horns are three-pronged vajras. At the root of the horn is three-pronged vajras. So two horns. On top of each horn, this is a vajra. Look here, please. This is a vajra. This has four prongs, but the one on top of it has three prongs. So at the top of this, each horn is a vajra prong, representing indestructibility. At each tip of the horns, a single pronged vajra. I am in the nature of blazing fire. So his whole body is on fire. The fire comes out the pores of his body. He doesn't get burned by it. Very, very fierce. My head is adorned with jewels. So between the horns, he has five crown jewels, just like any other deity. I have golden eyes, swirling and blazing like the sun. Very powerful. My holy mouth is filled with many conch shell teeth. From my wings, which are designed with vajras, 100,000 fire sparks are emitted. He has two wings,
made of vajras. He's very powerful, and the wings are stroking back and forth. My two hands hold vicious types of nagas that are being eaten in my holy mouth. From my neck down to my knees, if my body is in human form, but my feet are claws of a bird. So in his mouth, he's holding a long snake. It's a snake representing negative beings and that he can control and magic. He's holding it. From my holy body, many fire sparks fly out into the aspect of black and within sky iron, meteorites radiating into the 10 directions. So from his body, billions and billions of mini Garudas that look just like him are going out and protecting you. So there's a certain type of magic, whatever, you visualize the black Garudas going out and dispelling those types of harm. All the dangerous landlords and Nagas fall unconscious with fright. At my crown is a Om. At my knee is a letter Om. At the throat is an Ah, and the heart is a Home. From the heart, at his heart, radiate out light, invoking the actual black Garuda. So the actual black Garuda flies forth and dissolves into the one you have visualized. So it becomes one. You recite the mantra, Za Om Bam Ho. They become inseparable. It means your black Garuda and the real one has become one in front of you. You make offerings of black Garuda, just like before. And the offering you make is just like in White Tara. We drew a diagram there for you. It's exactly the same offering as in White Tara. Then you recite the mantra of offering. Om Benza Garuda Argum Patita Soha. Om Benza Garuda Pati Patita Soha. Om Benza Garuda Pube Patita Soha. Om Benza Garuda Pube Patita Soha. Om Benza Garuda Aloke Patita Soha. Om Benza Garuda Gende Patita Soha. Om Benza Garuda Nivende Patita Soha. Om Benza Garuda Shapta Patita Soha. You make offerings and you make a praise. You, whose wing feathers shake the 3,000 galaxies, dancing with a blazing beak, by merely flapping your wings, you instantly destroy the three types of spirit possessions. I praise the controller, Garuda. Visualization. From his heart, garlands and mantras blaze like fire at the end of time, becoming a great host of fire. All the animate and inanimate become the nature of fire, blazing and burning all the interferences of upper, middle, and below. All are purifying. So you recite his mantra. The mantra is Om Mani Chung Chung Tum Tum Be Be So Ha. Om Mani Chung Chung Tum Tum Be Be So Ha. Om Mani Chung Chung Tum Tum Be Be So Ha. There are two pronunciations. You can recite it Om Kyung Kyung or Chung Chung. It doesn't matter. It depends on that. Either will be just as effective. So, while reciting the mantra, you visualize from Garuda's heart. Blazing fire goes out to you and everybody in the world. And the fire is not the type of fire like on this planet where it burns you and hurts you. It's a psychic fire. It's a fire of wisdom. So Garuda's fire comes out from his heart and burns your sickness, burns your negative karma, burns your ignorance, burns your anger, burns your jealousy, which is the root of sickness, burns your greed, burns everything away and everywhere in the world. Think it burns very powerfully while you're reciting this mantra. That is the visualization you do, very simple. Then you recite the mantra as much as you can, there is no limit. And this mantra is to be recited with a good motivation, quietly and not loudly, and not to be passed around frivolously. Is a very, very wrathful mantra. It's a very, very efficacious mantra. It's a mantra which uses wrathful energy to control epidemic diseases. So when you recite it with good motivation. When you recite it with clear motivation. You can never get any harm, but in order to get the power of wrathful mantras, the motivation must be very good. Recite it well. It's very powerful. Keep it to yourselves. Do not repeat to others. Do not say anything to others. Do not show up. If you see someone in need of help from protection from black magic or whatever, or disease, you can teach them this. You have my authorization to go ahead and teach them this. But teach it with no profit. If you teach them with profit and money in mind, sell it. You will not have any power. They will not have any results. You may not teach it in order to show off your knowledge and pride. You may not teach it to show that you're somebody great. You teach it with the motivation to help and to assist humbly and quietly. And no financial gain. Any financial gain gained from this practice, there will be no effect. That is a criteria. Very, very important. All right? So you may teach this to other people, you may share it with other people, but be selective because it's a wrathful, wrathful mantra. Especially very powerful, fierce spirit possessions. This will be very powerful. Very, very effective. All right?